דקה, זקה, עברת בי כמו תפילה, דימה טובה, נושקת בי את יופייך, עצוב ומאושר. לא 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 לא.
Welcome back to the Impassioned Marriage Podcast. I am your host, David Feldman, a licensed marriage therapist, and today we will be discussing relationship desire. Desire, the enigmas of all enigmas, the holy grail of relationship bliss. If only she desires me the way she used to. If only the passion was like it was years ago. How good would it be? What do I need to do to bring it back? Who do I need to be for her to desire me and look at me like the good old days? Great question. But I have a different question. Why do you care? Why are we so desperate to be desired? Let's begin. When we first connect, sparks fly. It's awesome. Our head over heels love for each other and fantasies about what life will be like create amazing energy and passion. What a beautiful feeling and experience. We desire each other. We long for each other's company, connection, and affection. It is the most beautiful, uplifting period in our relationship, perhaps in our entire life. Desire is profound. It first touches our heart, then permeates our soul. It surrounds us with high feelings and lows, excitement and tingles. It gives us meaning and purpose. Desire inspires us to be better or to show off, to highlight our strengths and to achieve even more strengths. It powers our love and romance with energy, vibrancy, and passion. It is a consuming force that overpowers all others, driving us towards each other like two runaway freight trains. And it fuels our fantasies about our future together. When we deeply desire our partner and feel deeply desired, we can envision a wonderful life together, building a solid relationship and perhaps a family, a legacy. There's a science behind all of this, if you will. One study, when shown different pictures of people, the photos which were identified as attractive to the subjects all increased particular hormones in the body, specifically the chemicals dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin, spiked in relation to lust, attraction, connection, and pleasure. So we are biologically supported in our feelings. And this makes sense from an evolutionary perspective as well, because how else will the species continue if it doesn't feel great falling in love and making babies? But alas, for most of us, this euphoria and this ravenous desire dissipates over time. It's not clear exactly how long this relationship phase lasts, but usually not longer than 2 to 3 years. I have worked with many couples over the years whose desire for each other, not just sexually, but in general, desire for conversation, desire to share, desire to just hang out, is practically gone. For these couples, real life has set in. With every pair of socks left on the floor or missed dinner dates, fights over bills, and arguments over which cable show we're going to be watching tonight, our original fantasies about life together diminish, many never to return again. Desire takes a hit, big time, and these couples are despondent. Perhaps you know of such a couple. Or perhaps you yourself are going through this very phenomenon or have gone through this in the past. It's a normal experience, nothing to be afraid of or ashamed of. So what to do? How do we bring this desire back? The short answer is that we don't. Because unlike desire, long-term relationships are not something that happens to us. They are something that we make happen. To create a long-lasting relationship, we must look to the other side of desire. Because at the same time your desire is waning, what doesn't take a hit, what isn't diminishing, is character. Replacing the innate passion and desire in a new relationship is the budding of your relationship ethos, your values, your commitment to gratitude, your commitment to provide and protect, your commitment to love, honor, and sacrifice, your commitment to commitment. The lifelong journey of defining who you are, and then striving for, and then living up to your definition has begun. The long-term work of cultivating appreciation, of learning effective communication, of apologizing deeply, of facing your fears and accepting your limits, recognizing her inner beauty and seeing her soul. This is done through many ways, such as eliminating criticism, prioritizing and sacrificing for her needs, learning to love her through and sometimes in spite of the difficulties, her difficulties, learning how to be a father and taking on the massive responsibilities of running a family. We begin this work through understanding the relationship trilogy, thought, speech, and action, because it is through our thoughts, our speech, and our actions that we control our heart, our emotions. Setting the right frame of mind is crucial in creating a loving, connecting atmosphere in the home. For one of my clients, I prescribed positive greeting therapy. Every time she met her husband, she had to greet him with a smile and a positive word and sometimes some affection. "Hi, honey. What a pleasure to see you." Or, "My, you look great." Or, "Wow, it's really good to be home with you." Or, "Let me give you a hug." This immediately engendered positivity in their interaction, which spread throughout the day. For him, I prescribed small, consistent acts of kindness, such as texting her gratitudes every day and buying her flowers on Friday night. These actions add up over time and reshape the relationship into one of loving appreciation. And for both, we worked on their must-have pyramids, consisting of the 5 most important values, building blocks, so to speak, to a solid relationship. You can try it too. Here are mine. The first most important building block for me in my relationship is fidelity. I can't be married to somebody who I cannot trust is going to honor our marriage vows of fidelity. The next building block for me, the next level in my must-have pyramid, the things in my relationship I must have, the next one is responsibility. If my wife is irresponsible, and specifically with the children, heaven forbid, there's no marriage. There's no relationship. I need to be able to trust my partner with my children. The third one is loving kindness, because without loving kindness, without pleasantness, and without smiles and affection, the relationship turns sour and bitter. And we've all seen this. We all have friends who not only are they fighting in public, but you can only imagine how much worse it is in private. And what a nightmare. The fourth aspect, the fourth level of my must-have marriage is intimacy. I mean, after all, physical connection between husband and wife is essentially what distinguishes that relationship from any other relationship that you have. And finally, being treated with respect. That's something that's part of my must-have marriage, my must-have pyramid of needs in my marriage. A relationship, a marriage wouldn't work if you're treating somebody disrespectfully. Now, just as a caveat there, I'm not asking for respect. That's up to you. That's up to the partner. That's up to your partner. But every person deserves to be treated with respect. So it's through these tools and more that we can create real relationships that last. But let's go back to our original question. What about desire? Isn't it still important? Don't you want to recapture that incredible passion of the past? Yes, it is still important, but not in the same way. Eventually, the responsibility for desire shifts from her to you and from you to her. It's a little bit of a complicated idea, but I think once you understand it, it'll really free you up and open up your eyes to a brand new way of seeing your role in your relationship. See, because your desire becomes another area of your development, something you need to work on for you. Are you desirous of your wife? Are you madly in love with her? Do you feel passion and excitement during intimacy? If not, why not? What do you need to do to feel that way again? What area do you need to work on? Perhaps you are being too selfish. Perhaps you don't appreciate her. Perhaps you are so into superficial external attributes and fantasy that you cannot even experience real love and passion anymore. If you are not showing up in the bedroom with lots of excitement and desire, it's really on you, not her. And it's mainly your loss, not hers. And vice versa. As a woman, if you are so mired in resentment or boredom or anxiety or bitterness that you don't feel desire for your man, that sucks. And it sucks mainly for you. I'd hate to go through life like that, married to someone whom I don't feel passion for. What do you plan to do about it? How do you plan on overcoming this obstacle to intimacy? What is your strategy to rekindle your romantic feelings? This is not to discourage working together as a couple to solve real issues. Oftentimes, small grievances can cause big problems, and we need to work together to address them. But ultimately, how you show up in a relationship, how you feel about your partner, is your choice and your responsibility. Couples who've been married for 30 plus years didn't get there because their partner, quote, made them happy, end quote. They survived and thrived for 30 years because they took responsibility for their own feelings, happiness, and even desire. So when my clients ask me, how do I bring back her desire? I say, you don't. Never do anything to inspire or chase desire. Instead, define what you believe is the best version of you as a husband, father, and man. Find a woman who wants in on that. Then work towards that goal, live it, and sacrifice for it. Commit to it till your last breath. Become a man of character because that's who you want to be. That's who you are, not to be desired. Work on desiring your wife because that's part of what you want out of your marriage. And let your wife worry about her own desire for you, just as you need to worry about yours for her. Don't forget, it's the one who enjoys passion and desire for their partners most, not the one who is desired most, who is the real winner. Thank you for joining me on The Impassioned Marriage. Tune in next week for another episode. Daka, zaka, avarta bi kmo tfilah.
קדימה טובה נושקת בית יופייך עצוב ומאושר לה 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 לה